Welcome to the Believer's Voice of Victory from Kenneth Copeland Ministries. Download the notes at kcm.org/notes.
There's no greater work than the work He's called you to do. There's no greater job than the job that He's called you and equipped you and graced you to do.
This week, Kenneth and Gloria Copeland welcome their grandson, Jeremy Pearsons, to the Believer's Voice of Victory. Today, he brings an important question to consider. Are you useful to Jesus? Find out more in today's study with Jeremy.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast. I'm Jeremy Pearsons. My grandparents, Kenneth and Gloria Copeland, have asked me to come and join you for the next couple of weeks of broadcast, and I am so excited about it. I am so thrilled at any opportunity I get to sit right here at this desk, this kitchen, and come into your home, into your kitchen, into your world, and wherever it is you're watching this broadcast. It's always such an honor to open up the Word of God with you, find out what God wants to say to us, and just believe His Word, take Him at it, and watch as His Word impacts our lives. So for the next 2 weeks, you and I are going to get into some things. You're going to get into the Word, find out what God wants to say to us. So I want you to make sure that you make it a point to stay plugged into these broadcasts. However you go about hearing them, whether you're, like I said, sitting in your living room watching, or maybe you watch on your phone or your tablet, whatever you got to do, get the Word into your life. That is the most important thing. And if I've learned anything at all from growing up in what I call the household of faith, it's get the Word. Get the Word in your life at all costs, and take it and believe it, receive it, walk in it, and watch as it changes things. So make sure you stay plugged into this. And what I want you to do as we get into the Word together is I want you to follow along with the study notes that we're making available to you at kcm.org. If you want to follow along with these notes and find out where we go in these scriptures and make your own notes, just go to kcm.org/notes. Now it's going to include all the teaching points, all the scriptures that we cover in these broadcasts. So what you need to do is print those out, follow along, and then later you can use them for your own study. You can hand them out to somebody else, maybe do a Bible study or a small group around it. The reason KCM makes these available to you, it makes them free to you, is so that you can continue to feed on these things and not just kind of a one and done scenario here. Well, you heard that and it's like, okay, let's move on to something else. No, go back. Listen to it again. Look at it again. Take advantage of some of these resources. You're going to be blessed and glad that you did. Let's pray together. We'll get right into the Word today. Father, thank you so much for the Word of God. Thank you so much for the Word that you've given us and making it available to us. We have not been left to stand alone, to walk alone, but you've given us your Word and you've given us the gift of the Holy Spirit to take us like a tour guide into your Word and to teach us and to show us truth in all things that are to come. We thank you for it. We ask today for eyes that see Jesus, ears that hear His voice, and hearts that understand who we are in Him. We believe we receive this as a gift from you today, and we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. And what I want you to do is get your Bible. Let's jump into this today. And this is going to carry us, what we begin today on this broadcast is going to carry us for the next couple of weeks. And I believe there's some things that we're going to see today that will change your life forever if you'll believe it. If you will take God at His Word, believe it as truth, and let Him go to work in you. If you've got a Bible, I want you to go with me, first of all, to the book of 2 Timothy. And I want to begin in chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Let's start reading in verse 20. It says this, "In a great house there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay, some for honor, some for dishonor. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from the latter, he will be a vessel for honor, sanctified." I want you to make a note of this word, sanctified. You probably know what that means. It just simply means set apart. Just simply means that once you were part of a big nameless, faceless group of people. There was nothing different about you, but you were sanctified, and that means you were set apart. That's why the scripture says, come out from among them and be holy. That's all that word means, sanctified, separated. So if you cleanse yourself, he says, you'll become a vessel for honor, sanctified, and useful for the master, prepared for every good work. Notice again what he said here, you'll be sanctified and useful to the master, useful to Jesus, and prepared for every good work. Let me read this to you out of the Modern English Version. I like this a lot. He says in verse 21, one who cleanses himself from these things will be a vessel for honor, sanctified, and fit for the master's use. Fit for the master's use. And you'll be prepared for every good work. That's what I want to begin today talking to us about. And like I said, carrying this out over the next couple of weeks, being fit for the master's use. Useful to Jesus. Man, if there is anything that I want to be and anything you ought to want to be, it's useful to Jesus. Jesus, use me. I want to be of some use to you. And again, I like the way the Modern English Version said that, fit for his use. Fit, we know that word and most commonly associate it with our physical condition. Fit, we're in shape. And of course it means that, but in light of what we're seeing here, it's possible to be in a shape spiritually, in such a shape that Jesus can actually use you. Well, if you can be fit for his use, then it's also possible that we're not fit for his use. So if I want to be anything at all in this life, it's fit for the master's use, ready and available to Jesus. And notice it wasn't just useful to the master. It was useful to the master and prepared for every good work. Prepared. You know what that word means? It means make ready beforehand. There's a difference between being ready before the time comes and then the time getting here and you not being ready, not having a clue what I need to do to get ready. Now see, we need to be prepared, ready before the time comes, made ready beforehand. So we're going to talk about these two things over the next couple of weeks. We're going to talk about being fit for his use. We're going to talk about being in shape and ready to go. That's the condition I want to be in at all times, from now, for the rest of my life, for the rest of my ministry, in shape and ready to go. And I kind of got to give you some backstory on this. This really came alive in me some months ago, actually summer of 2016. Sarah and I went on vacation together for a little while. It was just the two of us. And we have two kids and we love them. We love them so much. Justice, who right now is 6 years old, Jessie Grace, she's 3 years old. We love these kids. And as much as we love them, it's also good to miss them for just a little bit, you know, just short periods of time. So Sarah and I went away for a couple of days, about 5 days, 6 days together, just the two of us. And I remember we were on vacation there this past summer, and I'm sitting out on this hotel balcony, beautiful scene, looking out over the pool just below me, out in the distance, palm trees, the ocean, it was perfect. The breeze is blowing through, it's early in the morning. I'm sitting out on that balcony and I've got my Bible, and I'm here reading in 2 Timothy chapter 2. Just a few days before this, I had, for lack of a better word, just stumbled across some of these scriptures and things I'd read before and even preached on some before. But really wasn't thinking too much about them for any particular reason. Actually just did a staff devotional one day with our little staff that we've got there at our ministry. And we're talking about some of these things, but there was something about it that just kind of hung around in my heart. You know what I mean by that? It just kind of kept scratching at me. So I'm sitting out there on that balcony that day, and I go back into 2 Timothy chapter 2. Lord, what are you trying to say to me here? There's something in this that I'm not seeing that you want me to see. And I'm reading these verses about a great house. And inside this house, you've got all kinds of different vessels. You've got some that are made out of gold, some out of silver, some clay, some wood. He said there's some for honor, some for dishonor. That just basically means they get used for different things. Not everything in the house gets used for the same thing. Some vessels have a very honorable use. Some things are just commonplace. You use them every day. You don't think much of it. He goes on to verse 21, like we read, if anyone cleanses himself from the latter, he'll be a vessel of honor, sanctified. Then when I got to these next few words, my heart just came alive. He talked about being useful to the master, prepared for every good work. The Lord directed me to that translation that we read there, the Modern English Version, talked about being fit for the master's use. And I'm just sitting out on that balcony, meditating on these things, thinking about it. How does this apply to me? The Lord began speaking to me right there. And I don't mean I heard him audibly, but just on the inside. And he said, Jeremy, I want you fit by 40. Fit by 40. And I had this little notebook with me and I wrote that down. Fit by 40. See, as I'm sitting here talking to you right now, I'm 37 years old. So I've got, what, just another 2.5, 3 years left before 40 gets here. So some people watching this are going, yeah, 40, big deal. Been there, done that. Well, I haven't yet. I've not yet made it there. You have, that's great, congratulations. But, you know, I'm pressing towards it. And the Lord's setting this goal out in front of me. He says, Jeremy, I want you fit by 40. Now, I have to be honest that when I first heard that, the first thing I did was look at this outward body. See, about a year or so before that, I finally came to the place in my life where I was like, you know what? I'm done being weak. I'm done being this just skinny, scrawny guy. I've been that my whole life. I never seemed to just pack on the muscle real naturally like the other guys did. I don't know what it was, honestly. And my dad's he's a slender guy. Folks in my family kind of built like this. My family used to tell me when I was a kid, a teenager, they would say, you know what? You've got a really great build for golf. You've got a great build for golf, which I thought, thank you? I don't really know what that means. I think later I figured out it was just a nice way of saying, please, for the love of God, don't play football. Just whatever you do, don't play anything that's a full contact sport. You got a great build for golf. Well, about a year and a half ago, maybe close to 2 years now, I kind of got to the point where I was like, I'm done feeling that way. And I started working out, man. I started working out hard. I started doing CrossFit, and I'm doing all these intense workouts. And, well, I may get into some of that later. But when the Lord spoke to me that word about fit by 40, the first thing I did was look at this outward guy, this guy on the outside. I'm like, yeah, you know what? I'm going to get in shape. I want to be stronger in that decade of my life than I have been in this one. And you know what? That's a good goal. That's a great goal to have. But the more I meditated on that, and even sitting here today, it means more to me now than even it did then when the Lord spoke it to me out on that hotel balcony. Whenever the Lord speaks to you along these lines, you've got to know that He is never addressing change from the outside in. That's not where He begins change. He doesn't go from the outside in. He doesn't change you from the outside in. No, God is always, because He's always been and will always be, an inside-out God. In other words, the change He wants to see in our lives, you and I can't enforce that change from the outside in. It's got to come from the inside out. And what I realized He was saying to me was, Jeremy, I want you fit, useful to me. See, what I realized was the Lord's telling me, Jeremy, something's coming. Something is on its way. And notice Paul coupled these two things, being fit, being in shape, being useful, and being prepared for every good work, ready for the work, in shape, ready to go, fit for His use, prepared for the work. And you're asking yourself, okay, well, what work is that? What is every good work? Listen to me. There's no greater work than the work He's called you to do. There's no greater job than the job that He's called you and equipped you and graced you to do. That's the greatest work you'll ever do. That's the greatest thing you'll ever set your hand to do. There's nothing for you greater than that. And you'll find that there's nothing more satisfying. You'll never be more satisfied doing anything than the thing He's called you to do. Does that make sense to you? Are you following me? You'll never be more satisfied doing something else that you came up with than you would be doing the thing He's called you to do. You'll never be more fulfilled doing anything other than the thing He gave you to do. And you'll certainly never be more blessed financially, more blessed relationally, more blessed in every area of your life, trying to do something other than the thing He's called you to do. What work are you supposed to be ready for? The one He's called you to. And that may look different than the one He's called me to. Chances are it does. But it takes all of us doing the thing He's called us to do. And if you're doing your part and I'm doing mine and He's doing his and she's doing hers, we're going to get this job done, man. Everybody doing their part is going to get the job done. But we're going to have to be fit for His use and ready for the work. So when the Lord speaks to me and says fit by 40, on one hand, it's very exciting to me. Because I realize on the back end of that, what He's saying to me is, Jeremy, something's coming. Man, glory to God, something is coming in my life. And I'm all eyes, I'm all ears right now over the next 2.5, 3 years. Lord, what is it? What change is about to take place? Because I fully expect with Him saying something to me like this, this could be a change in perhaps a change in direction or next step kind of change. What's the next step in our marriage, in our family, in our ministry? I fully anticipate that when I get to that point, there is a next phase, if you will, that will begin. And one of the reasons I'm sharing this with you, I'm giving you my own personal thing here, Fit by 40. What's yours? What's the Lord saying to you? What are you supposed to be fit by? Because you've got to understand that in God and with God, there's always something coming. There's always another step because that's how we walk. We walk by faith. And don't overcomplicate this thing. What is walking? It's one step and then another one and then another one and then another one. That's called walking. And that's what He said the life of faith is. It's one step of faith and then another step of faith. But what do I do after that? Take another step of faith and then another one. So the point I want to get across here to you is that something is coming for you. Maybe it's not fit by 40. Maybe it's fit by something else. I preached this and one pastor called me and said, Jeremy, I got it. I'm going to be fit by 70. He's a little bit older than me, but he was excited. And he realized that 70 was on its way and the Lord had something for him coming at that monument, that time in his life. What's He saying to you? Allow the Lord to set something out there in front of you. And if you do, it'll do the same thing in you that it did in me. You start to get excited about it. You start to realize, wow, something's coming, something's coming, something's coming. But while you get excited, you also have to be aware that there's a flip side to this. So I'm not just realizing, okay, praise God, something's coming. I'm also realizing that what the Lord is saying to me is, you're not ready right now. He's saying, Jeremy, if I brought this thing into your life right now, you couldn't handle it because you're not ready for it. So while I am excited, right on the flip side of it, there's a sobering realization and a sobering revelation here that's, okay, I'm not in shape right now. I'm not in a condition where He can use me for that, whatever it is. He can't use me for it yet. But just like this physical body can get in shape, just like you can spend time training this thing, conditioning this thing, the same thing's true with your spirit. As a matter of fact, it's true with your physical body because it's true with your spirit. You can get in shape spiritually. You can get into a condition that Jesus can use. Now, there's something that you need to understand before we go any further in this. And this has got to be the bedrock foundation, not just of this message or this study, but of your life and mine. And it's this truth right here. Jesus loves you. He loves you. How do you know? Because the Bible tells me so. That's how I know. He loves you. There's nothing you can do to undo that love. There's nothing you can do to make Him love you less. There's nothing you can do to make Him love you more. He loves you and He gave His life to prove it. God so loved you that He gave you Jesus. And when He gave you Jesus, He gave you the only thing He had, just one of, and that was His Son. He gave you the most precious, the most valuable, the most rare thing He could. And He did that to assign value and worth to you and to your life. The price He paid for you is what determines your value and mine. He loves you. Now, the next thing you need to understand is that not only does He love you, but He's called you. There is a calling on your life. You're not here by accident. You are here with purpose and for purpose. Now, it's your job and mine to seek Him out and find out what it is. It's not a mystery hidden from you, it's one hidden for you. And you will find it if you will seek it. But here's what you've got to understand. Just because He loves you and just because He's called you doesn't necessarily mean He can use you. Just because He's loved you, just because He loves you, just because He's called you doesn't necessarily and doesn't automatically mean He can use you in the shape you're in. That's why we have these words. That's why we have the Spirit of God speaking through Paul saying here that you can cleanse yourself and become a brand new vessel. See, you look around your house and those vessels, some made out of wood, some made out of gold, that wood vessel will always be a wood vessel. That thing made out of gold will always be made out of gold, and you can't change that. But this is where you and I are different from these inanimate objects. We have the ability to go from one to the other. We can become a vessel that He can use, fit for the Master's use. Now, before I go, I want to give you one last scripture, and this is going to take us into the rest of our study. If you turn back just a page or two to 1 Timothy chapter 6, a very familiar passage of scripture, especially if you've been around this ministry very long. He says in verse 12, writing to this young man, he says, "Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life to which you were also called." So see there again, you're called. But notice this first instruction to him, fight the good fight of faith. I like the Weiss translation of it that reads like this. He says, be constantly engaging in the contest of faith. Be constantly engaging in faith. You should always have your faith on something at all times. You should definitely always have your faith in Jesus at all times. Be constantly engaged in the contest of faith. Watch this. Which contest is marked by its beauty of technique. So when he said fight the good fight of faith, he was literally saying to Timothy, Timothy, fight and be good at it. Be good at the fight of faith. I think there are people that have heard some things about faith, understood some truths about it, but they're trying this and they're trying that. There's no technique to that. So here's what you and I are going to do. We're going to get into the Word of God. We're going to get in shape, and we are going to get fit for the fight of faith.
We hope you enjoyed today's teaching from Kenneth Copeland Ministries. And remember, Jesus is Lord.